obviously against the Rangers, couple of soft goals, it's preseason, whatever, but it is relevant in the sense where, of course, the Jeremy Swayman stuff is still unsolved and or unresolved. And yeah, so, you know, in a world without Jeremy Swayman, what's the Bruins organizational goaltending depth looking like? We think it's pretty good with DiPietro and Bussy, and you know, obviously they brought in Corposalo and others, and the Bruins have a track record of good goaltending. But yeah, what'd you guys make of the goaltending tonight and potentially life without Jeremy Swayman?
Yeah, like as I said at the top, it's not the best first impression when you're looking at, like, all right, so who do they have without Swayman around? And it's like, Bussy gave up a soft one, and DiPietro gave up a soft one. And again, still have to see Corposalo in preseason action. I imagine he probably plays Tuesday, but, you know, I guess we'll see. And yeah, look, Bussy and DiPietro are better than that. Like, they're not going to give up soft goals every game. But again, as we've said, it's a sprint to the start of the regular season, so every game matters. And, you know, not the best start for, like, two guys who, even if and when Swayman does return prior to opening night, like, in theory, those guys could be battling Corposalo for the backup job. You know, Bussy especially, a lot of people think, like, he's a guy who's ready to make a push. Even Sweeney has talked about that. Like, they're going to give him an opportunity to show that. So, okay, here was the first real opportunity in a game against another team, and it didn't go well.
And they're both 25 years old. They're both the goalies that were in Providence last season. And yeah, their performances weren't enough to really, like, jump them off the page. I know there was one preseason game last year where Brennan Bussy made this amazing save that everybody remembers. Jim Montgomery even brought up the save during training camp already.
He was awesome that whole game.
Yeah, that whole game, like, he was.
Yeah, he played the whole game and stopped like 34 of 35 or something. Like,
yeah, and we should say that both of these guys split time almost exactly down the middle today. I think Bussy played the first 30 minutes just about, and then DiPietro played the rest of the game. So they split time really, really evenly. And I think the story really more is, what do you do if one of those guys is your backup because Jeremy Swayman is not in your lineup? And we haven't seen Corposalo yet in a preseason game, so maybe he gives people a little bit more confidence if he does well. But I think if he lets in a soft goal or two, say he plays Tuesday in preseason game two, I feel like panic. People are going to be hitting the panic button, and we're going to keep talking about it, and the pressure is going to keep going on and on for Don Sweeney to get Jeremy Swayman back signed and ready to go for the season. But ever since that last rumor day, there really has been quiet, right? Like, there's not been anything leaked out about them getting closer. The rumors have settled down after Sweeney called out some people for their sources, what their sources were saying, and stuff turning out to not be true. So, unfortunately, there's no news on the Swayman front.
Would you guys still be surprised if it wasn't resolved before regular season?
At this point, no.
I would still be mildly surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised at this point. I feel like Don Sweeney's philosophy is he's willing to take it as long as he can take it. I don't think that's ideal. I don't think either side thinks that's ideal.
Yeah. Okay, but if you have subpar goaltending and start losing games, like,
yeah.
Again, we talked, like, this team cannot be in a position at any point this season where they're in danger of missing the playoffs. And if you start slow, you put yourself in an awkward position. So, like, there's motivation on both sides to get something done. There has to be. Like, the Bruins need him, and Jeremy Swayman needs to play. Like, what 25-year-old isn't gonna play. Like this is your team now. It's like you're the franchise goalie, and you're gonna kind of start your reign just sitting out, watching your team struggle through the first month of the season. I still can't imagine it on either side. It would be so silly to me if they're both so stubborn that they can't get this done.
I agree. I would like to think that the Bruins' defensive depth and personnel would be good enough in front of any goaltenders that they have, where they could still be a successful team, playoff team, at least until Swayman gets back. But yeah, not really a risk you'd want to take. So hopefully it gets solved.
Yeah, it still looms over every storyline about the Bruins. It's like you look away today, you look away really, and you're trying to look at some of the forwards, but then it always comes back to goaltending.
All right, Bridget Scott. Well, that probably wraps it up for this episode. Hopefully next time we speak, it'll be after the Tuesday game. Hopefully Lysell scores 6 goals and I can sit here and be like, yep, second line, right wing, here we come. and maybe Merkulov assists on all those goals, and here we go. But
although there's going to be personnel changes because there's plenty of guys that need to get rotated in, and one, I don't think there's going to be a lot of regulars once again, but there are other guys in training camp that are younger or guys from Providence that are probably going to get some time rotated. And I assume the defensemen will be different. I don't know if you guys feel that way too, but Lorai and Peak were the top pair today. I thought they did pretty good, but I feel like they'll give way to some other pairs next game and whatnot.
They'll probably sprinkle in NHL regulars here and there, but I think they'll probably, so they have what, 7 preseason games. So let's call the last one maybe most of the roster, the real roster. So I would expect Lysell and Merkulov to at least get, probably 5 games. They're probably going to give them as many opportunities as they can get, to Scott's point earlier. So whatever roster they plug in around them, I would imagine that they'll be in there. And maybe a couple other players that they're looking to give opportunities to as well. But
I got one final thought from today's preseason game. And it's about Parker Weatherspoon. So we didn't get a chance to talk about him. And I feel like it's important to bring up that he, he's okay. And the injury that it looked like he suffered in the first period was he just had the wind knocked out of him. And then he came back and he fought, very rightly so, because Brennan Othman seemed like he was specifically targeting Weatherspoon for whatever reason. He hit him hard twice. One was kind of a late hit, one was kind of a high hit.
It wasn't kind of late.
He
hit him 3 years after he got rid of the puck.
Yeah, it was a late hit. They were both a little bit dirty. The
second one was clean. That was a good hard hit. The second one
looked like he jumped into it a little bit, but either way, they looked like specifically targeting Weatherspoon. I don't even think they have any history with each other. I don't know if that's just how it happened coincidentally that there was 2 really hard hits from him, but Weatherspoon obviously took notice. Buzzer sounds on the end of the second period and Weatherspoon fights him and takes his helmet off his head and spikes it on the ground. He is all fired up. And he apologized for that. He said that was, that's what got the extra penalty, and he doesn't want to be doing that. So, but he's healthy. He's okay. And he's probably your 7th defenseman on the team this year. And I also want to give him a shout out because he asked me how I was doing because he saw me in my crutches and my brace. And we talked for a few minutes about my knee. So I give him props for being a nice guy and being like, you okay? Because you look like you're not okay.
Parker Weatherspoon, confirmed good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Montgomery was asked after the game, did you like seeing Weatherspoon stand up for himself, get revenge or whatever?
That was me.
Yeah. And he was like, yes, but I didn't like him throwing the helmet away because that was the extra penalty. Also on the penalty front, I'll quickly bring up Mark Kastelic, who I thought brought a lot of physicality and helped kind of set the tone, but also took 2 offensive zone penalties. He said after the game that he was probably a little too fired up for his, you know, first game of the season, but also his first game as a Bruin, even though it is preseason. So he kind of, you know, acknowledged that and said,
well, yeah, he tried to fight.
He was in a bunch of scrums. Yeah. He was mixing it up, which you like all that. You just don't like the penalties. I will say, I looked it up, you know, okay, does Kastlik have a history of lots of minor penalties? No, he doesn't. The last 2 years in Ottawa, he has 25 in the 2 years combined, 25 minor penalties in like 130 games. So not a lot. Has not made a habit of it. He's been like ninth or 10th on the Senators in minor penalties taken. So I will, if it's me, like I buy that excuse. Like I think he was just a little too fired up, tried to do a little too much in terms of setting the tone. And I would not expect that to be a regular thing with him.
He was entertaining.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. Stick him on the fourth line and it'll be a fun opening night against Florida. Zadorov will be in the mix. You know, we good. Frederick, all of them. Be a good, passionate opening night to the season. All right, Bridget, Scott, I think we can probably wrap it up here. So thank you all very much for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.